for this church, Lord, and the time that we have to get together and just spend time thinking about you, Lord, and singing to you and hearing from you from your word, Lord. And I just pray for John and Pam and, Lord, that our hearts will be open and we'll be willing to change what we need to in our lives, Lord, to honor and glorify you. Just pray for the song service in your name.
Amen. Turn to 453. He keeps me singing. He keeps me singing. Oh, Alex's favorite. Old Alex over here. Old Alex. All right, 453. Here we go. He keeps me singing. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one.
Think
about those
verse
words. 1. Amen. Here we go. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus.
No, not one.
No, not one.
No, there isn't.
No, not one. None of us could heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one. No, not one.
What's his name?
Jesus knows all about our struggles. Day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. so dark, but His love can cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. And did ever saint find the strength forsaken? No, not one. No, not one. Or sinner find that
amen.
He would
have saved. Thank the God that He would.
No,
that's
not
right.
One.
He took us all.
No, not one. And Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus.
No, there isn't.
No, not one. No, not one. Was there a gift?
No, there won't ever be either. Amen.
No, not one. No, not one. Will He refuse us a home in heaven?
Amen. God, He won't.
No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus.
No, there isn't.
No, not one, no, not one.
Amen. All right, though. 443, go back one page, 443, there is no name so sweet on earth. You'll find that out. Let's say you're getting up to dying, you pass on, you get up to heaven, and you walk up there before heaven's gate, and you're standing there before God, and you're like, He's like, why should I let you in here? What's one word we could say to get into heaven? Why should God let you in? What did you do that's so great that I'm going to look past all your nonsense, all your failures, all your faults, and let you into my perfect place without sin? Jesus. That's it. One name. Amen. That's all that'll work for. Jesus. That will appease it right there. There is no name so sweet on earth. Here we go. Verse 1.
There is no name so sweet on earth. No name so sweet in heaven. The name before His wondrous birth. To Christ the Savior given. We love to sing of Christ our King and hail Him, blessed Jesus. For there's no word here ever heard so dear, so sweet as
Amen.
Jesus.
So be careful. I might hold out that we there just because it's so good, all right? Verse number 2, 'twas Gabriel first. Here we go.
'Twas Gabriel first that did proclaim to His most blessed Mother that name which now and evermore we praise above all other. We love to sing of Christ our King. And when He hung upon the tree, they wrote His name above Him, that all might see the reason we forever. Jesus. Oh, Jesus, by thy matchless
name, there's not one like it.
Thy grace shall fail us never. Today as yesterday the same, thou art the same.
He never changes. Verse number 6.
To Jesus every knee shall bow,
today or tomorrow,
and every tongue confess him, and we unite with saints in light, our only Lord.
Amen. That's right. He's the only Lord. Bless his name.
We love to sing of Christ our King and hail him, blessed Jesus.
Two more. What we got? Got any fan favorites out there?
Save.
All right, 230. Can't go wrong there. I found a friend who's all to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how he lifted me and what his grace can do, not just for me, but for you. All right, here we go. Verse 1. Save.
I found a friend who is all to me. His love
Is that 270? 270! Is that Haven of Rest?
Yeah.
Haven of Rest. That's a good one right there. Amen. Here we go. We found a haven of rest. Amen. In the midst of all of life's storms. Here we go.
My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard saying, make me your choice. Then I enter the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the white seas no more. The tempest may sweep, oh, wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore. I yielded myself to its tender embrace, and faith taking hold of the word. My fetters fell off and I anchored my soul. The haven of rest is my Lord. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe.
Jenny's printed off some camp applications up here. We pretty much, if you have younger siblings in the Timothy thing, or you're involved in the Timothy, you're going to notice a lot of similarities, because we basically took their outline and put our stuff in it. Okay, so anyway, they both accomplish the same purpose. We've got 25 up here. Get that to your parents, or do it yourself. Turn that into us so we can have a head count and idea of what kind of supplies and all that stuff like that we're going to need for camp this year, all right? So one of the things I think is going to be so cool is when we get into the millennium and we see the emphasis that God puts on things compared to what we
Amen.
Put on them.
Amen.
Just like the change of how what he esteemed to be high and awesome and great. We sung about the name of Jesus. Jesus is going to be the celebrity then. That's who's going to be celebrated. Not LeBron James, Amen. Katy Perry, Amen. You know, Billie Eilish, all these guys like that. Who's some other folks that you guys like out there? You're like, I'm not going to say my guys, right? All right, so it's going to be Jesus Christ. That's who's going to be celebrated. That's who the celebrity is going to be. I think about the Bible. That's going to be the constitution of that government then. Nothing that our forefathers wrote in 1776 or what they did over there with the Magna Carta or what they did with the Code of Hammurabi or anything like that, all right? It's going to be the Bible. That's going to be the constitution. It's going to be esteemed above all law. It's going to be the law of the land
Amen.
In.
Amen.
Something else, guys, though, is the saints. Yeah, right now the saints aren't supposed to be ruling and reigning. It's later on. And one of the things I wanted to do, and we already got it started with the Darren Skeviches a couple of months ago, I wanted to have couples and people that have been serving God since your age that have stuck with it and have them come and talk to you guys. You know, it's one thing to be a hot shot from the start, to jump in it, be on fire and all that stuff like that, and everybody's behind you because, number one, everyone loves youth, you know, so they can get behind a young kid. Most of them just see themselves in you. Like the Bible says, childhood and youth are vanity, so naturally our flesh will, you know, puff that stuff up and go for it. But I'm impressed by the saints that have stuck with it throughout the years, throughout the thick and the thin, when times got good, when times got bad. All right, the Bible says better is the end of a thing than the beginning.
Amen.
Okay, so if we're going to be wise, if we're going to look at this thing, we should esteem those that have been around, that stuck with the ministry for a while, and have them come in. I got some other couples that are coming later on. But every fifth Thursday of the year, we got four of them, so I got four couples. I'm trying to have those guys come and talk to you. And that's one of the things, you know what? Think about the people you guys celebrate in life and who you look up to, stuff like that, and ask yourself, you know, is it somebody that God would esteem? Oftentimes, kids that grow up in church, I guarantee maybe your parents aren't who you look up to and are thinking, oh, yeah, that's awesome. They've been faithful to the Bible. They've been faithful to the ministry, faithful to the Lord. Those are going to be the people that are celebrated for 1,000 years when Jesus Christ shows up. You shouldn't have to wait till then to recognize that, all right? Put your flesh in check. Realize the blessing that we have of parents that will grow us and nurture us in the Word of God.
Amen.
Saints that stick with it, other than they can be. So anyway, with that little introduction, I got John Bisquette and Pam. Thank you guys for showing up tonight to talk to the kids. Whatever John's got for you, he's going to give to you. And I'm looking forward to what he's got. I'm looking forward to this thing keeping going. I think this is good, not only for you guys, but for the church in general. It shows the adults kind of what's happening in here with the kids, and it ties us back in together. I don't want the youth group in this own little satellite thing going on off in the distance. At the end of the day, we're all here to glorify and magnify Jesus Christ, and that's what unites us. Our age shouldn't separate us. Our interests shouldn't either, because it should be Him. So, you know what, that's why we're doing this. So, praise the Lord for that. Alex, go ahead and pray for John, and John, after that, come on up, please.
Lord, I just want to thank you for this opportunity to get together here today as brothers and sisters. Lord, thank you for allowing us to still be able to have a church building that we can come to and just be able to worship you and fellowship together. Lord, I know that there's a lot of Christians just around this city or even around this nation that don't have a church to go to, or they're watching churches online, or and that's their lifeline to a church, to a local New Testament church. And Lord, help us just to continue to be faithful, Lord, to the people that are like that, Lord, who do look into our church. Help us to put all the foolishness aside, the things that would hold us back from, Lord, being a church that's lifted up, Lord, and Lord, for your glory and your purpose. Lord, help us to make first of all, and most importantly, Lord, our personal relationship with you, Lord, the forefront of our minds, and make sure that we're doing right there so that our relationships can be right with our brethren in every situation, Lord, and so that we can put all the differences and the little, Lord, differences aside, and just, Lord, so that we can just have that unity within the Spirit, Lord. And I just thank you for allowing us to have a great pastor who, Lord, preaches us the truth and preaches us the doctrine and gives it and shows us how to apply it to our own lives, and not just our lives, but, Lord, our own brothers and sisters, so that we can be an encouragement and a help to them. Thank you for brethren like John and Pam, Lord, and other brethren within the church that are considered elders, Lord, that have been consistent in their lives down throughout time, so we can have examples to look up to. And Lord, and just like we talked about last week, help us just to understand these times and understand what our responsibility is with them, within this church. And Lord, not and just understand, Lord, we don't get another opportunity, but just to make the most of it right here, right now. Lord, if there's any distractions on these kids' hearts or minds, Lord, we ask that you just remove those things and put it under the blood. If there's any sins that they haven't confessed and brought forth to you, we want to put that under the blood right now, so Lord, that they can truly just be focused and locked in on what you want for them. Lord, just please, you give John the words to say, and use him, Lord. We want to hear from you, but use him, Lord. And thank you for, Lord, just the dedication and time that he's put into this. But ultimately, Lord, work through the Spirit that you put in him, your Spirit, Lord, and just help it to just relate to us where we need to check ourselves within our own personal relationship with you, and then make it right, and Lord, and not just hear it tonight, but to take it out of here and apply it to our lives day after day. Lord, and once again, just thank you for this opportunity that we get to gather here tonight. And it's your name we pray. Bless you the same. Amen.
Well, for those of you who don't know, I thought someone else was speaking after Zach was speaking. I was like, well, I guess I'll not talk tonight. If you want a place to turn your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 15. this was actually a message before Zach even spoke to me. It was something that the Lord kind of put on my heart, and it was kind of funny that just the Lord just kind of worked this all out, because I was like, man, this would be a really good message for the youth group.
Boom.
And then like a month later, here comes Zach. Hey, I want you. I'm like, perfect.
Amen.
There we go. Okay, Lord, thank you. That helps.
Yep.
So, but I want to talk a little bit about what's commonly known as the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. The verses, we're going to probably cover the whole chapter, but the whole story of it covers about half a page from verses 11 down to, 32 in Luke chapter 15. I'm going to read like chunks of it at a time, and then we'll kind of go back and talk about it. Do my best to paint a picture for you. But look in verse 11. It says, and he said, and this is Jesus speaking here. He said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, I want to stop there and just kind of talk about this. This is, there's two sons. This father has two sons. An older son, firstborn, and then a younger son. And the younger son, he gets this idea about something about where he hears it, you never do know. You're not given any of this, any information other than the fact that he gets this idea about a place called the far country. And he gets this idea that if I could just go out to the far country, and if I could get my inheritance, I could go out to the far country and just have a ball. I could go out to this far country and just live it up and just have a ball. And because he's apparently heard stories about this place. He's heard where he's heard it, I don't know. But he's heard about how it sounded to him. It sounds fun. And I get to thinking about, I know for me, this is a good story for a lot of people like that didn't grow up in church. I didn't grow up in church. Pam didn't grow up in, well, it was a backslidden church, but but she kind of grew up kind of off and on in church. But me and Pam are two people that we were out in the world. I mean, our family wasn't in church. When I grew up, honestly, I didn't know what a Baptist was. I'd never heard of a Baptist a day in my life. When I got saved, I'm like, what's a Baptist? I didn't know. I honestly, sincerely did not know. I never heard of it. Had no idea what a Baptist was the day I got saved. And actually, even like a year later, I'm like, oh, a Baptist church. Oh, okay. Is that like John the Baptist?
Right.
I don't know what you're talking about. No idea what a Baptist is. I know now. I've learned a few things over the years. But this guy, and I like what it says here. It says, the younger said, Father, give me. Look at what his focus is. Give me. Give me. His focus is, it's all about me. And I want things given to me. And he had this sense of entitlement. There's an inheritance. I get this inheritance. So give it here. And I'm going to go and use it for me. This is all about me. My life is going to be all about me, and I'm going to focus just on me. This is something we need to hear today, because, well, let's be honest, the devil, given the chance, he would love to have you get on board with that idea.
Yeah.
And so he gets in this, and he starts thinking, well, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And he said, okay. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after. Look, you see that? First you get to thinking about something, and it's not many days after that that you start going where it is. It starts up in here. It starts down in here, and it works its way out to your hands and to your feet, to your mouth, to your ears. It starts working its way out throughout your body. So you got to be careful what you put in your head. You got to be careful what you put in your heart. You got to guard that heart. You got to guard that mind. But these are some lessons we're going to learn along the way. But he gets out there and he says, not many days after, he gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, looking back on it, when you get to the end of his life, he'll look back on it and say, I definitely wasted. I look at my life. I remember when I first got saved and I got into church and I got to see people like you guys that grew up in church, and I thought, wow, what a blessing. Wow, what an amazing thing to be able to have grown up in this church. I mean, I was coming in, I was 21 when I got saved. Way, way far past, you know, down the road. And I mean, in those 21 years, I had created a huge mess in my life and a lot of bad mistakes, a lot of bad choices that I had to play a quick game of catch up and say, hey, I'm going to have to learn this Bible. Hey, I'm going to have to learn some good study habits. Hey, I really didn't pay attention in school like I should have. Man, I'm going to have to play. I'm going to have to learn some quick things and fix some things really, really fast to undo some of the damage that I had done in my life. And because I like the way he says it. He wasted his substance. How many years? For me, I look at that and I think of 21 years wasted. 21 years. We only have a certain amount of time in this life. And you're getting started at age 21. I look at you guys and think, wow, what a blessing you guys have. You have the opportunity to take this time and say, hey, instead of putting all the garbage like I did into my heart, putting all that garbage into my mind, you guys have the opportunity, the privilege of spending that time and saying, hey, let's build it right. Amen. Right from the start. Amen. So he goes on there and he wastes his substance with riotous living. Look at verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Suddenly he ran out of cash. It's funny how when you get a pile of money in your hand, it's funny how suddenly a line of friends comes out of nowhere. They will help you spend it. They will help you use that up. And they get in there and they say, hey man, all right, let's help you out here. We'll take this. Oh, we'll help you get rid of some of that. You got extra cash? You got too much money to get rid of. We'll help you get rid of it. Let's get rid of some of this. And he learned a lesson. I guarantee he learned a lesson. It doesn't say this in the text, but I'm telling you from personal experience, I guarantee he thought he had some friends because of the money that he had, because of the inheritance that he had, because of all the wealth that he had. And then when the money dried up, so did the friends. These are called fair weather friends. When you got the money, they're your best friends. When you run out of money, where'd they go? Hey, what happened? Where'd my buddies go? They're all gone. Suddenly they disappeared. And he began to be in want. So suddenly he's like, you know, trying to hit up some of his buddies, and maybe he had a girlfriend at the time. He's trying to, hey, is there any way you can loan me like a little bit of cash? You know, I got that Lamborghini I got, but I can't make the payment this month. Can you help me out with that? Get out of here. Go, you better. So they confiscate that. They took that back. And suddenly he can't pay his rent. He's kicked out in the street. And now he's homeless. And he began to be in want. And I guarantee how it went was, suddenly, all the money dried up, and suddenly he finds himself on the street with no money, no food, no prospects, no nothing, and he doesn't know what to do. Look at 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. He gets out there slopping hogs, as they say out on the farm. I've never been on a farm very much, but I've heard the terminology. So you have to take my word for it, because I hope that's what they say. But they slopped hogs. They get out there, and he had them a bucket of just garbage, because pigs eat garbage. And he's out there just slopping garbage out there. And the pigs are all excited, and they're running in. They're eating up this garbage. And he's slopping the hogs, putting it out there, and the pigs are running in. But it's funny. I look at this and I think, you know, there's the world's mercy. When it comes to mercy, when it comes to grace, when it comes to giving, the world doesn't have a whole lot of grace for you.
That's good. Amen.
You don't find that. They have
They have more grace for their hogs than they do for God's people. That's how the world is. And if you haven't learned that yet, I hope you just take my word for it and you don't have to learn it firsthand. I had to learn it firsthand. The world had very, very little. No mercy. No grace. At all. And he's out there slopping hogs. Look at 16. He would fain have filled his belly with the husks. That's corn husks. Like the Huskies up in Nebraska. The Corn Huskers. I'm glad you guys are here. You guys could be part of that. Put your name down by that verse there. I'm gonna write your name down in there. Corn Huskers. But he would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And look at this. And no man gave unto him. No mercy, no grace. They didn't give him nothing. He was hoping, well, someone will be merciful. Because see, he grew up in a home where people cared about him. He grew up in a home where people did actually give him things. They gave him things that he didn't deserve. They gave him things that he didn't really even need. That was the kind of home he grew up in. He grew up in a loving home. Hey, and if you grew up in a home like that, thank God.
Amen.
Bow your head right now and thank God and say, Lord, thank you for the home that you did give me. You know why? Because it could be a whole lot worse.
Amen.
It could be a whole lot worse. I look at the home I grew up in, and it wasn't a great home. It was rather dysfunctional. But I always look at it this way. It could have been worse.
Amen.
I've read some horror stories out there. It could have been worse. Read you a book called A Child Called It, and then tell me all about your bad day. That is a horrible story. No man gave unto him. Now, it didn't say that he ate the corn husk. It didn't say that he ate the hog slop. But he said he would have. Mm-hmm. He would have. Honestly, I think he was afraid he'd get caught. But he was hungry enough where he would have eaten it. This is a sad time in this man's life. This man grew up in a home where obviously they loved God. He grew up in a home where people loved God and served God and did what was right. And yet, he thought, for whatever reason, he decided, I think the far country's got a better deal for me. Now, right now, he's getting an education. The far country was not a better deal. He's learning this the hard way. And I hope, my hope and prayer for each and every one of you here is that you don't learn this lesson the hard way. Read some of the stories of Christians that went out there and decided, oh, mom and dad don't know what they're talking about. Hey, we used to go down years ago. We used to go to the Jackson County Juvenile Detention Center. That was one of the first ministries I got involved in when I first got here in Kansas City. And I'd go down there, and one of the guys that came in, it was a preacher's kid. And this kid came in, and I'm scratching my head. I'm blown away because, you know, I knew the background I grew up in, and this kid grew up in a Baptist church. The pastor's son. And yet, somehow, he got arrested and thrown in jail, and detention center, or correctional center, whatever, and he's in there. And when we got in, we did our little Bible study, and he sat there and he said, you know what? After the Bible study, he came up and he said, you know what? What you guys just said was exactly what my mom and dad have been telling me for years. For whatever reason, he just didn't believe them. He thought, well, that's just what moms and dads say, I guess. No, no, it's not. Get in your Bible and learn. Get out. Talk to other people. Talk to people that grew up in church. Talk to some. Get some other witnesses that you know, get that great cloud of witnesses that bears witness to what God has done. And let that be a testimony to you to say, hey, you know what? I don't need to go out there and figure out. I don't need to go ruin my life with drugs to figure out that drugs are a bad idea. I don't have to get out there and ruin my life by going to prison to learn that, hey, going to prison is a bad idea. You know what I'm saying? There's some things you don't want to learn firsthand.
Yeah.
Blessed is the man that learns from someone else's experience.
Yeah. Amen.
So no man gave unto him. Look at 17. This word really starts getting good. And when he came to himself, look at that expression. That's what they say about a boxer when he gets knocked out. Yeah. He came to. Man, he's flat on his back and suddenly, well, he came to his senses. What am I doing? He's sitting there going, what's the matter with me? Look at what he says. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? What am I doing here? I'm up here starving to death. My family back home, they got servants working for them who are eating better than I'm eating. Man, I'm going back. I'm heading back. Look at 18. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He went out as a son. He's coming back as a servant. And he says, look, obviously I blew it, Dad. I'm going to come back. I want to come back and make this right. I blew it. Just make me a servant. Just put me out there. Put me out in the guest and with the workers. I'll stay out there with them. Just make me a worker. But I don't want to be away anymore. Now that's where it starts to get good. And you're going to find times in your life where you're going to make a decision. I will arise. I will do this. I've been making bad choices. I will stop making bad choices. You've been lying, telling lies, telling deceit, stretching the truth, however you want to word it. I haven't been living right. I will start living right. You'll make that decision. Maybe you'll hear a sermon on Sunday morning. Maybe you'll hear a sermon that Zach will, just nail your hide to the wall by the grace of God. And you'll say, you know what? I really need to get this fixed. Maybe some of you are thinking that right now. There's something in my life that isn't where it needs to be. There's something in my life that no one here knows about, but God knows about it. And He's not happy about it. The Holy Spirit isn't happy about it. The Holy Spirit's grieved because there's something going on in your life that shouldn't be there. And you know it. The Holy Spirit isn't happy about it. This doesn't need to go on anymore. And you're saying in your mind right now, I'm going to get that fixed. I need to get that fixed. I will get that fixed. You know what the problem with that is? Too often, that's as far as it goes. It's just words. You make a resolution. I resolve. It's a song. It's a hymn in the hymnal. I am resolved to follow the Savior. There's all the different things he's resolved to do. But they make these New Year's resolutions at the end of the year. I resolve to start working out. I resolve to, stop smoking. I resolve to stop being a jerk. That'd be a good one. Everyone ought to do that. But the three greatest words in this story are found in verse 20. And he arose. And he arose. He said, I'm going to do this. Then he got up and went and did it. Don't just come to the conclusion, I'm going to do this, and then not do it. Amen. Don't come to the conclusion, I need to get this fixed, and then leave it there. Don't come to the conclusion that, hey, this isn't right in my life. I've been doing things wrong. I haven't been paying attention. I haven't been obeying my parents. I haven't been doing what I ought to be doing. I'm going to fix this. Amen. For 1 week. For 1 day. For 1 month. And then slip here, slip there, slip there. Suddenly, Alex is under conviction, he's got to come. That's the three greatest words in this story. I, and he arose. He got up and said, I'm going to go back and I'm going to make this right. For the best way, I'm at least going to try. He knows. His father, he doesn't need to take him back. He said, here's your inheritance. I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm heading to the far country. The father didn't have to take it back. He said, hey, man, your choice, man. You chose. I'm done. He didn't have to. But he said, I want to give it a shot. I want to try. And he arose and came to his father. But here's the grace of God right here. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. One old preacher said, he done run so fast he fell on his neck. I was like, your heavenly father sees you when you in your heart say, you know what? I need to make this right. And then you start making steps to fix it. Your heavenly father looks down and says, okay, I see this. Now we can do something. And he starts moving in your life. He starts working instantly in your life, allowing those steps to take place. And he brings you up to that. I'll say one thing about this young man. When he said he was going to do something, he did it.
Yeah, that's true.
He said, I'm going to go out to the world and live like the devil. He did it. When he said, I'm going to get up and go home, he went up and went home. When he said, I'm going to say this when I get there, look what he said. Father, I have sinned against it. That's exactly what he said he was going to say. He kept his word. That's the best thing I can say about this young man. When he said he was going to do something, he did it.
Yeah.
And the son said, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But he didn't get all the words out. And his father said, don't worry about that. Bring forth the best robe. There's the mercy of God. He was looking for mercy out there in the far country. Couldn't find a bit. Not a smidgen. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. You know what's interesting about this? Everything he went out to find in the far country, he never did find. He spent all his money trying to find something that he thought was out there. You know where he found it? In the Father's house.
That's good.
You know what a young man wants? I'm still a young man, I'll tell you. One or two amens would have been nice, but anyway.
I can't lie.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. He wanted nice clothes. He found them in the Father's house. He wanted good food. He found it in the Father's house. He wanted respect. He found it in the Father's house.
Wow.
He wanted good music. He found it in the Father's house. It's all in the Father's house. Wow. The devil wants to deceive you and get you to think it's out there, way out there, for all our land. And he said, no, it's right here. What you're looking for is right in front of you. In the Father's house. Now we go to part two of this story. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said, Thy brother has come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry. This is the older brother. Now, we talked about the prodigal son. Now I want to talk about the self-righteous older brother. This is the young man that stayed home. He stayed in the father's house. He never left. But there's some things going on here that need to be addressed. Look what you see about this young man. You know where he was? Verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field. I don't remember off the top of my head where it is, but in the parables over there in Matthew 13, it says, now the field is the world. He's in the world, but still in the Father's house.
Yeah.
You got to watch those things.
Amen.
And he got angry because his younger brother had come back, and now he's upset. Because, well, he's acting like he's coming back and he's celebrating that he came back. This young man, he shamed our family. This young man did this, he did that. He did all these horrible things. And his father comes out to him. And he answering said, his father, I'm sorry, 27. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf. And he was angry. Oh, okay. 28. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said unto his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. You know, we sing that in Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. He's saying he was dead and he's come back from the dead in a spiritual sense. He was lost and now he's found. But this self-righteous older brother, you know what's wrong with this brother? He's got the wrong standard, doesn't he? He's comparing himself to his brother. Now, I could sit there and I could compare myself to people that I work with. I compare myself to find someone out there that's some horrible person that did some terrible crime, that did some terrible, horrible things, and say, man, I look pretty good standing up against this guy or this person. I could sit there and say that and say, man, my life looks pretty good compared to them. But we have a different standard, don't we? You want to keep this in mind. The fact that you grew up in church, maybe you never tried drugs. Thank God for that. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. I hope you never do.
Amen.
Maybe you never tried alcohol. I hope you never do.
Amen.
There's nothing to it. Take my word for it. Don't try it the hard way. Don't learn the hard way. There's nothing to it. It's bad news. You go down to the mission, see what these things do to people's lives. It doesn't help them. It destroys them.
Amen.
But this older brother was sitting there saying, well, I've never done that. Therefore, I'm better. He's taking, there's a verse back there, and I think it's in Ezekiel or it's Isaiah. It's like, come not thou near me, for I am holier than thou. Nice humble guy. Don't come near me because I'm holier than you. You'll defile me by getting near me. Over the years, I've seen that in churches. Not a whole lot, but some. Enough. Too much.
Amen.
One person is one too many. But it's easy to get looking at other people and saying, you know, if you guys go to a public school, you get around other kids, and man, they're a train wreck. You're like, dear God, man, their families, whoo, way out there. They you maybe go visit a friend's house, you know, and they don't go to church. And man, you know, the parents are getting, doing whatever, and you're just like, wow, you don't do this stuff like this in our house. Hey, thank God for that.
Amen. Yeah.
But don't ever, this is where you don't want to get that self-righteous attitude like him. You know what your standard is? Your standard is Jesus Christ. You can start bragging and boasting about how great you are when you're as good as him.
Amen.
When you're better than Jesus Christ, brag all you want.
There you go. Amen.
Until then,
hush.
Just sit there and count your blessings.
Amen.
Say, yeah, no, I haven't done a lot of things that's going on over here. Hey, count your blessings.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for it. But don't ever make that as a, well, that means I'm better than so-and-so. I'm better than you. I'm better than this person. No, you're not. You're better off, but you're not better.
Amen.
And this young man, he's angry. He's angry because he's got the wrong standard. Keep the right standard. Your job is to open up this book as it says over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 17 and 18, he says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Now what that just said in so many words is this book is likened to a mirror. But it's a different kind of mirror. You know, we see a mirror and we say, okay, you know, you see your own reflection. And the mirrors don't lie. But this is a different kind of mirror. It doesn't lie either. But when we look into this mirror, the Word of God, the Bible is likened to a mirror, and we're looking in this mirror, instead of seeing our reflection, we see Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit says, here's where you don't match that reflection. Here's where you don't look like Jesus Christ. Here's where you don't act like Jesus Christ. Here's what's wrong with your mind compared to Jesus Christ's mind. Here's what's wrong with your heart compared to Jesus Christ's heart. Here's what's wrong with your walk compared to Jesus Christ's walk. See what I'm saying? And that's what the Holy Spirit does. As you read the Bible, you get in there and you learn and say, hey, this is what it's saying here. Man, I don't live like that. And the Holy Spirit convicts you and says, hey, this is something you got to work on. It's not ripping you up one side and down the other because God hates you. He's saying, look, I got something better for you. I want you to be more and more like Jesus Christ every day. Somewhere along the line, this older brother forgot that. And he got self-righteous. Hey, there's three kinds of sin in the Bible. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You don't know where those are. It's 1 John chapter 2, verses 16 through 18, I believe, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. That prodigal son, he got really screwed up on those first two. I'll give him one thing. He didn't have too many times. Our pride will never let that young man come back. But he humbled himself and said, I'm going back.
Amen.
He didn't have so much pride that he didn't want to come back. It's the older brother. He didn't struggle with the first two, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. At least it's not recorded. But that old pride, the self-righteous, that old pride will get you every time. You start thinking, hey, I've arrived. I'm better than so-and-so. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Let me tell you something. I have not arrived. I am not anything but a sinner saved by God's grace.
Amen.
That's it. Nothing more. And if anything is ever done through me, it's by the grace of God and nothing more. Look what He's done through me. It's not look what I've done, because I can't do anything. If I tried to do it, I guarantee. If you want it screwed up, we had a lady one time that asked us to, she needed some help cutting a tree down. She asked me, and I said, if the goal is to put the tree in the house or on the house, I'm your guy. I don't know anything about cutting down trees. I can put it on the house without even trying. I guarantee if I try to cut it down, that's where it's going to end up. If you don't want it going through your roof, I'm not your guy. Because I'll tell you, that's what I could do with ease. I could just do it like effortless. I can do it real easy. And it was just, I just laughed at that. She's like, you know, you got the wrong person for that. That's not going to work. If you want me to put the thing through the roof, I'm your guy. But otherwise, you know, you better get a professional to do that. But I think of that, you know what? You want someone to live. Our job as a Christian, and I'll end with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you're already in 2 Corinthians, look at chapter 5, look at verse 20. Now we then as ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And I've always liked that word, but look at the way he words that though. We pray you in Christ's stead. That sounds kind of funny if you're not familiar with the Bible, you haven't done a lot of reading in the Bible. The first time I read it, I'm like, that sounds really funny. It just sounds weird to me. It sounded weird when I read it. And I had to kind of take it and kind of rearrange it and break it down What he's saying is, instead of Christ. In Christ's stead. See the word instead in there? Instead of Christ. It's you. So you have a responsibility here on earth as an ambassador for Christ to be as close to Jesus Christ, in the sense that when the world looks at you, they ought to see Jesus Christ. Self has got to go. We got to get self out of the way. So that when the world looks at us, they see Jesus Christ. Well, that's all I got. I'll hand it over to Zach. And,
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Stay right there. That's good stuff, man. It's hard listening to these guys like John get up here and go. I start missing most of the messages because they inspire me with so many other things that they said before. But I love that thing you talked about, how he was saying, like, all the stuff that boy was looking for out there in the world was already right there in the Father's house. Now, how many of you Christian kids actually believe that? How many of you actually believe that everything your heart could desire is already in reach while you're being raised in a Christian family, the mother and father bring you up in the Word of God, taking you to church at least twice a week, trying to implement biblical principles and run the house according to God's rules? How many actually believe that? See, that's the question right there. God said it. Do you really believe it? You see, God's thing is to open up the Word of God, take men that open it up and give us that insight into there and show us these things. Hey, it's all there. The food that he wanted to be satisfied with was already there. The clothing that he wanted. The riches that he wanted. All right? The music that he wanted. Oh, could you really get fulfilled out of an old book that has songs from 500 years ago? Could that really, is that even possible? Could your soul that's been, experienced the Xbox and all these cool little, synthesized music and electronics and stuff like that, could it actually get satisfied with something this old and crusty?
Amen.
God says it can.
That's right.
So what's the problem? It's already right here at the Father's house. Everything you could desire, it's already right here in the Father's house. The devil's job, you know what it is to get you to think that it's not. He's on the job. My question is he being successful? When you walk into this church, do you think, whew, thank God, my fulfillment? Or do you think, God, how long until I'm out of here? Will I have enough guts to tolerate it tonight? Will I have enough endurance to sit through another message? Will I have hey, God said it's already right here in the Father's house. Are you being satisfied by it? You say, well, how could it be right here when there's so many things out there in the world that look so appealing to me, that look so satisfying, that look so attractive? If it looks better, it's bait. Any fish will tell you that. They got caught. It wasn't enough for the worms and whatever other junk falls into the lake to be satisfying for them. He had to have the one that couldn't get away, that was just dangling right there for him, just begging for him to come after him. That's how you are. If it looks better, it's bait. God said it's all right here. He said godliness with what? Contentment is great gain. And having food and clothes or raiment, let us therewith be content. You know what you told God? I need more than that. You got to be kidding me. Lord, don't you know what I need? He's like, I did, so I made you. Don't you know what I need? Don't you know what it takes to satisfy a being like me? Don't you know what it takes to satisfy this flesh? Yeah, nothing can satisfy that being. I do got something that can satisfy your soul. You try it. You take a drink from it. Three things real quick I got from John's message. If it's all here, then why doesn't it seem that way is the question. I know some of you are sitting there thinking that. I hear that. Yeah, those are good outline points. Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, he was able to take that and develop it. But it doesn't seem true to me because my heart's not satisfied listening to that. Why is it that I'm still itching to get up out of here and go do something else right now if it's all right here? Number one, if it's all right here, why doesn't it seem that way? Maybe it's number one because you're not here. It's right here. It's in this book. But you're not here. You say, what are you talking about? Can't you see my corpse rotting right here? What are you talking about? Yeah, your physical body's here, but man, your thoughts, your mind, your heart, they're way out there in the world. You're back home. You're on your phone right now trying to like, I wonder what so-and-so is messaging me back right now. It's here, but you're not here. That's verse 25. The Bible says his elder son was at home, but he was out in the field. You know what he's probably doing? He's probably spent all his time at the fence on their perimeter, looking down to the city, wishing he was down there, but didn't have enough guts like that younger kid to go out and do it. At least the younger kid was honest. He knew he wasn't there and his heart wasn't going to be there, so peace. You know what? God will deal with you if you're honest. I got to tell some of you kids this right now. You know what? If you don't care about what we're doing, stop acting like it. Give it a shot. I mean, think about it. You're missing out on what you could have out here in the world. And you're not getting nothing while you're here at the church, so you're missing out in both places. Why not go out there? Maybe you'll prove us wrong. Maybe we're the suckers. Maybe I'm not quite as smart as you for wasting my time coming up here in this hot little room on Thursday night when I could be somewhere else, maybe making some more money, you know, doing something else to find more fulfillment in life. Maybe I'm the sucker. Why not get some guts, go out there in the world, quit playing church, quit playing religion, and teach me something for once. Because right now, you're a loser in both worlds. Number one, you're a loser for showing up at church when you don't believe in it. So you're not going to get nothing from it. And you're a loser out there in the world because you're in church when you could be out there doing what you really love and care about. So now you're doubly stupid. Spiritual retards, I guess. I don't know, man. Something about that. Number two, if it's all here, why doesn't it seem that way? Because you're not using what God gave you. You see, the elder brother had all the same resources that the younger brother got when he came back. But while he was at home, they had no value to him. You guys ever wonder that? We just had a young lady get saved a couple weeks ago. Her name's Alexis. How old is she? 19, 20? How old is she?
19.
19? A couple of, maybe a month or so ago, she was hanging out with some guys from the church. Over there at their house, they're just having like a good little get together, hanging out and stuff like that. She gets up and leaves and goes out there, and you know what? They realize that they haven't heard her car start. They're like, what the heck is going on? Why haven't we heard her drive off? You know, it's kind of late. We want to make sure everything's all right. They walk out there. They get to her car. She's sobbing in her car. She's sitting in her car crying. And they're like, well, what's wrong? Maybe her car won't start. You know what she says? I need to get saved. I need to get saved. Nine-year-old kid, already been through high school like you guys, went out there in the world, looked for it. Why didn't she find it out there? Why did she come back to what you can't stand and find fulfillment and you haven't found it yet? No value. So many stories of people going out in the world, getting saved, giving it all up to come back to the simple truth and purity of the Word of God.
Come on.
Why is it that they could find fulfillment in it and you still haven't?
Amen. Lord, help us.
Because you're the elder brother. It's got no value to you whatsoever. These songs that made so many saints through the years cry and break down and thank God just for the opportunity to lift them up, you can't stand singing. You'll mumble through them. You won't even open up your darn mouth. Maybe it's a good time to tell jokes on the song service. Do whatever you want to. You say, Zach, you can't preach to us like this. We'll never come back. Good! God, I help. Boy, you know what? I hope I scare the hell out of you right now. Amen. You don't get it now. God will give it to you when you get there for the Christ. Or I don't know. Maybe you're not even Amen. Saved. Maybe that's what's waiting for you. No value. It's all here, but you're not here. You've got it, but it's got no value. Number three was the funniest one down here. Verse 31, Luke chapter 15. He goes whining to his dad.
Why does he get it, but I don't get it? Why are you going to party for him?
Verse 31, look at that. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. The last thing, you just haven't asked for it. See, when you're not here and your heart's somewhere else, you're not going to realize what you're missing out on. You've got it all, but it's got no value to you. So why would you ask God for anything? You ever stop and thought, you know what? Why is it that this kid could have gone out here in the world, gone through the same stages and phases of life, gone out there into the world, not found fulfillment, come back, and now they're fulfilled by the same things I've grown up with? You ever just stop and say, you know what? Maybe there's something wrong with me. How about this? Lord God, I trusted you for salvation. Now I'm going to ask you something. I trusted you could save my soul. All right? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. If you trusted Jesus Christ to save your soul, listen to this. If you trusted him that he could actually do a miracle like saving your soul from hell, let me just offer one more prayer to you. Why not ask him to find actual fulfillment and satisfaction in the things that go along with it?
Amen.
It's a bright idea.
Amen.
Stop thinking it's just going to naturally happen. Maybe we've done a bad job of presenting that to you. Like all of a sudden, magically, just one night, one day you wake up and all of a sudden now you love God. Now you love the Bible. Now you love prayer. Now you love witnessing. Now you care for people. No, it doesn't. Guys, you have to realize who you are. Remember what you had to do to get saved? Admit that you were a sinner. I'm sinful. I don't care for this stuff. I like it my way. I like the things in the world. I like that slop. You had to admit that you were a sinner. And then once you admitted that you were a sinner, oh, wow. Then Jesus Christ became beautiful to you because of how pure he was and you saw what he was for you. He was your hero coming to rescue you and save you from that.
Amen.
Okay, after you're saved, do the same thing. Admit that you're still a sinner.
Amen. Yeah.
Just my aim's different.
Still am. Amen.
Amen. Darn it. I mean, I know something changed, but why do I still like these same things, Lord? What's going on? All right? Just like you asked him to save your soul, ask him to change your diet. Ask him to change your desires. Ask him to create in you a new heart, a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within you each and every day. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. He forgives us. Cleanses us. See that? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? Huh? This is a process you still have to pray for. You don't just get saved and then naturally, you know, you like get seniority and start tenuring up the spiritual ladder and all these things start becoming real to you. Quit being like that older brother and crying and whining about whatever, man. God said it's already here. Everything you need to be satisfied and fulfilled in life is right here, right now. If you're not getting it, it's because you're not asking for it. You don't got enough guts to ask God for it, do you? You don't think he'll do it, do you? I mean, after all, it is God. You know how he is sometimes. Can't always trust him, right? Gonna watch God, right? Because you know those times we've asked him for stuff before, he's kind of like let us down, right? Remember those times, right? You kind of got to watch him, that little sly guy. It's not God, it's us. It's all here, but you're not here. You've got no value. You see no value, but you haven't asked for it. Let's pray, guys. Heavenly Father, I love these kids. I thank you for John and Pam coming up here, the investment that they made, the example that they've set. Lord, Father, I care about these kids. I got nothing to offer them. If they're coming up here to get entertained and spend time, maybe they're just in attendance to make me feel good. Well, I don't want to not show up to youth group or something like that. It might hurt Zach's feelings. My God, help them to find something better to do in life, Lord. Please. God, this is reality, and I don't know how much time we got left on this earth. The wickedness, the times that we live in, they're not getting better, they're getting worse. I wish we would stop playing games, Lord.
Amen.
If we're not here for you, chasing after you, desiring you, seeking you, if we're not giving up the passions and the things that satisfy us in this world for you, Lord, God, help us just to get a backbone and just get out of here. I mean, stop taking up space, man. We're like dead plants on a tree. And the tree wants to produce fruit, but it can't because it's got these dead limbs in the way. God, just one last prayer I got for folks like that. And even when I feel like that, Lord, help us just to have the guts to get out of the way and move on. Because, God, I know you're still working. I know you're still doing stuff. You're going to keep doing it because you come back for us. Help us have enough guts to get out of the way for those that want to do something, Lord, that love you and care about you. And Lord, how about this? Even if we don't love you and care about you, Lord, but this convicted us what we heard tonight, help us to have the guts to pray for that desire. This praying has got to change your heart, man. It's okay that you don't care about it right now. God knew that. That's why he came to die for you. Because the Bible says that men love darkness rather than light. Because our deeds are evil. That's the stuff we desire, that filth out there in the world that hung you, that nailed you to the cross. That filth, God, that you suffered and bled and died for. I still like that stuff. But thank God you showed me that all I have to do is just ask the Father for him to make the things that he loves and that he has desires to me. And then I can finally find the fulfillment that I'm not getting out there in the world order. So, Lord, help our kids not to be double losers. Losing in the world because they don't have enough guts to go out there and just be a part of the world. Losing in church because they don't care about the things that are happening here, Lord. And help us to be winners. You already gave us the victory over our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I pray and ask that you would help us just to tap into that power, to that success, Lord, that you've driven and given us that power. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. One last thing. I think Pastor Bob might be done. But did anybody have a verse that they wanted to share with us? Did you guys memorize any of these verses that Alex and Erica went over with you guys?
Caleb.
Well, go ahead. Oh, my gosh. Don't show off, Caleb. Come on now. Be all extra spiritual. All right. Go ahead, Caleb. Sound off.
All right. Philippians 4:13.
Wait. Alex didn't know it. He's just looking up. Go ahead.
The other part of that was explaining it to me, and so I want you to explain it to me like I'm somebody who doesn't know anything about the Bible.
Yeah, that shouldn't be hard now. Okay, so go ahead. So,
very true. So I don't know anything about this verse. You need to be able to explain that in the terms of what we talked about last week.
All right. So the verse goes, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." Basically saying that you can do anything through Christ. But in order to do that, you have to basically put in work. You have to put in effort to try and do stuff through Christ because it just doesn't come easy.
Okay, so for me, as somebody that doesn't go to church, how do I put in the work to do things through Christ?
Get in the Bible and get the principles and get all the doctrine you need.
So I've read the Bible. But what in the Bible am I supposed to do? That's going to really put that verse into action for me.
You just keep reading through it. You go to church and get somebody who is more experienced, and you basically have them take you through the Bible like Bob. Have people help you that are more in the Bible.
What if they don't have the answers? I've been to a couple of churches and they didn't have the answers, and I tried to ask them about what these verses meant and things, and then they said,
you gotta pray to God that He'll give you the right person in your life to give you the answers.
That's good, I guess. What should I pray? So after that, there's nothing else. That's all I can do is just pray that the Lord put the right person in my life. Is that person not you?
I mean, it is big, but...
Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
Is it or is it not?
You just keep praying for it. Praying for... you basically just pray for strength, and you pray that God will put the right people in your life. Because a lot of churches are not really like the right churches though.
What about this? I have a lot of good friends who go to church and I hang around them, but I don't necessarily think I have to do everything that they do.
You don't have to. I mean, it's all up to you. It's all about basically getting in and finding out what's right or wrong in God's eyes.
Now you're starting to cook a little bit. But no, okay, so finding out what's right in God's eyes, what does that mean?
Basically how God sees things, God's perspective on everything.
Why is that so important?
Because in the Bible it says we're supposed to be like Christ. And seeing everything God's way is going to basically carry us. It's basically going to help us do everything right that we need to do.
Okay. Think of it this way. You're on the right path. I'm grilling you a little bit, but think of it that way. You're on the right path talking about we all have to see it God's way, because at the end of the day, what's all man going to be held accountable to? At the end of the day, I'm not the person who doesn't know the Bible anymore. I'm talking about like, what at the end of the day, as all men, what are we going to be held accountable to?
How much we are
in this, trying to think, right? Thinking in simplest form. What's the final authority, no matter who you are on this earth?
How much are you like Christ? Like my dad was saying, basically, in 2 Corinthians, we need to be seen as Christ. We need to be seen as the person.